live from inside the Matrix and brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Party like a rockstar. Energy drink. I'm Delmon.
And I'm Alicious.
And this is EQ2 Talk. This is episode number 27, and we are recording on July 2nd, 2011. Happy Independence Day, North America. And Allie, why still don't we have theme music?
Well, Robert Redford offered my husband $1 million for one night with me, and we stayed up all night making a list of the pros and cons.
What's going to be the outcome of this? And if so, can I buy it on pay-per-view?
Well, unfortunately, it turns out it was just a dream.
Was I in the dream?
No.
So we have several listener feedbacks this week that we wanted to go over. And I think, Allie, you are up first.
Yeah, I got an in-game email from Dark Force, obviously. Well, not obviously, on the Unrest server. He writes, I'm back. Oh, and I was in your guild. So due to family emergencies, I had to leave EQ2 a while back, just when I was getting started into raiding, frowny face. But luckily, I had heard about EQ2 Talk before leaving and managed to stay informed these last few months. I just wanted to let you guys know that you have produced a great podcast. It was one of my few wonderful distractions as I sat in the hospital waiting rooms, and I even managed to LOL a few times. Yeah, thanks to you guys, I'm that dude who LOL'd in a full ICU waiting room. Anyways, thanks and keep up the good work. Hope to see you in guild chat soon. Signed, Dark Force.
Well, Dark Force, may the dark side of the Force be with you.
I think that's awesome that we were the cause of laughing in the waiting room.
Yes, it's always exciting when we hear from listeners about how they actually LOL'd.
And I hope everything is okay now.
And we hope EQ2 Talk brought a smile to your face and everyone around you. The next email that we had was from, who now? Indebuff, and I have it here. And Indebuff entitles her email, Recent Show. Well, what can I say? Certainly a lot to think about with what was discussed. And best of all, I get to agree. No, I'm sorry. Let me reread that. I get to disagree with Delmon twice. Smiley face. So let's start with the Sprouts email. I think his technique holds a lot of merit. When you level several tunes at the same time, you can switch off and pretty much always be playing with a vitality bonus. Vitality bonus, if I'm not mistaken, is 200%. You only receive 20% for each max level you have. If you play on just one tune to level it, most likely you will be playing without vitality bonus most of the time. I don't know about you, Delmon, but I think it would go for the 200% over the 20%. Of course, if your goal is end game content, then this technique will just take longer, but in the end you'll have several max tunes instead of just one. I've been playing for about 2 years and I have 2 max level tunes and several in their 70s and 80s. Not to mention I have 5 max crafters. By the way, I am running with 100% vet bonus on my new crafters. Now for the more complicated discussion. I really believe Allie is right to be very cautious about the idea of smart loot and things that shorten the time it takes to reach goals. As some may disagree, raiding is the end game. Now, it's hard in this game as it has been around for so long that the vets have been there, done that, and in some cases, many times. The vets can also be a bit guilty of getting new players to rush to the end as new blood is always needed. If I were to compare this to, say, real life, then we would all be wanting to rush through life to the end, where maybe we have made our money and gotten all our toys and, by the way, be getting old and ready for end of game. Make sense? Of course not. But yes, a bit extreme, but like life, an MMO should never be about the destination, but about the journey. You guys have played for many years, and you have many stories to tell, and you have made good friends along the way. All that takes time. Endgame is just that. Endgame. Sure, many will make lots of alts and do it all over again, but that first journey should be that. A journey. It makes me a bit sad when I see new players wanting power leveling or trying to shortcut their time in Norrath. It is such a wonderful world of interesting things to discover and learn about. Why rush by it all? As in my opinion, that's really what an MMO is all about. It's entering a world that you become part of, get to know its people, places, events, and dangers. In the end, doing battle with its most powerful creatures and proudly displaying the fruits of those labors. It's also the time that many move on to new lands to conquer. If you are really honest with yourself, Delmon, the real pleasure in getting that piece of armor that you seek is never really acquiring it, but the trials to get it. And that's where the real memories are. The loot will just end up as last expansion's cast-off as you strive for the next thing of conquer. Anyways, that's just one Ratanga's way of looking at it. Signed, Indabuff. So, Ellie, what do you think about Indabuff's comments about my comments about smart loot?
Yeah, I think Indabuff makes, again, some really good points. And as a matter of fact, when we were recording that show, I was thinking about the journey being kind of the reason why we play in a lot of ways, but I didn't say it. So when we got the email, I was like, well, I did say that. Then I re-listened to it. No, I didn't actually say it. But yeah, she makes some really good points. And of course, I love the part of her agreeing with me.
I'm sure you would.
And disagreeing with Delmon twice.
Indabuff may have missed my point or perhaps filled in with some assumptions for things maybe I didn't say that she thinks I thought I said or she thinks she heard me say.
Okay.
I never implied not to play without vitality. I never said don't play with vitality. What I just said was get characters to max level so that you can use veteran bonus. I didn't say grind them there such that you are without vitality. No. Delmon never said that. So I think she kind of made a leap of faith there about something. And I certainly don't agree with the fact of not playing with vitality. So I think that was one mistake she made on my.
That's fine. But the point being that the writer, the emailer that caused this discussion was asking, what is your opinion on the right way to do things?
Mm.
And we had said there is no right way. It depends on what your goal is. If you like to try out different tunes, and if you have two accounts and you're kind of duoing, or is that just called boxing? To me, that's duoing.
Okay, if it's two, it's still a duo.
Even if it's one split personality. I like having kind of mid-level tunes. I have a lot of mid-level tunes, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Once you hit max level, you're pretty much in that high-level content. You're not going to see the older content in the same way, even if you mentor down. So I think it's kind of fun to have multiple tunes. I mean, that's what alts are for, right?
Absolutely. I've always said alts are for distractions when you're tired of doing one thing, but you still want to play. It's sometimes like playing a little bit of a different game because you see things from a different angle, or the buffs or the combat arts aren't the same, so you have to try different strategies and that sort of stuff. So it's still the same game, but with a twist or a difference to it.
And I do think that there are different types of people. I mean, you and I both have one main, but there are lots of people who actually have multiple mains. They don't associate necessarily with one main character. You know, I think maybe that's actually another topic for an entire show. We could talk about alts and mains and, you know, what type of player you are.
Absolutely. But, like you say, we both identify with one character, really.
So anyway, good email.
Well, there's one other thing she talks about. Disagreeing with me on the smart loot, I think she missed my point a little bit as well, or maybe I didn't make my point clear enough. I agree that the journey is more important than the end. And I agree with having stories about encounters and bad pulls and wipes and mistakes and stuff we made all along the way. But what we're stuck in right now with my guild is farm status. We have mobs that we can kind of do with our eyes closed, and we see the same loot items dropping over and over again that no one particular needs. some cases, alts are completely already geared out with that stuff, and now it's starting to go to general auction channel, whereas we have other classes who are still waiting for that drop, and every time we go in there, it's a risk. It's a random pull, and whereas I understand the journey is the enjoyment, the repetitive journey can become a detriment to the longevity as well. I don't, or an I being Joe Sixpack player, I don't want to keep doing the same stuff over and over again and hoping for the luck of the dice to land with me.
Well, I understand that. And I think we kind of came to that conclusion in the end of the last show of something in between a guaranteed drop and dumb loot. Something in between.
Right.
And it, I believe it is actually in between right now because, I mean, it's always been that way. It just seems like a really long time because you're the one doing the waiting. But it really hasn't been that long if you think about it. Think about how long you've been in that guild and how long you've been doing this content. It's not really that long.
True.
In terms of time. It just seems like it.
You're right. It always seems worse when you're the one waiting.
Yes.
Time moves slower when you're standing at the bus stop.
Yes.
For some reason, in the rain. Yes, I understand that. But that, and that's all. I didn't want to say that I don't enjoy the journey, and I don't think that a lot of even raiders or people who are focused on end content don't enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Their journey is just maybe scaled at one particular playstyle, and that's okay. But it's the repetitive playstyle, and I will think there is a certain amount of replayability contributes to burnout when you have to replay and replay and replay. That mm-hmm. can lead to burnout as much as other aspects of being unfun or unhappy with the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that on a macro level. But when it comes down to the details, if I were to ask you, what pieces are you missing that you have the ability to get? How many pieces are you missing?
Three.
And one of them is pants, isn't it?
Yes, I am pantless, shirtless, and one earringless.
Okay, the earrings, no big deal. The pants, those recently dropped, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And they went to somebody else.
Yes, they did, for minimum DKP in my guild.
Doesn't
yes.
matter. They dropped.
They did.
Okay, you just weren't there.
I was resting my eyes before raid, yes.
So you basically lost your chance.
Yes.
Because you're a slacker.
I am.
Okay, so there you go.
And then hold on. We went again and killed it this week.
And your pants didn't drop.
And the pants didn't drop. Fighter right. pants dropped again. And those
but
got
that's killed. Just the way the dice roll. Random is random, and semi-random is semi-random. But if you're not there when the pants drop, you're SOL.
I want my pants.
Well, you snooze, you lose, literally.
Quite literally, I did.
Okay.
And I'm paying the price for it.
I think you should reassess how long it's actually been. I mean, it's been a matter of a couple of months.
Yes. Here's what I'll do. I should be able to go back through our loot history, and I will count how many times we have killed that mob.
If you count how many times you've killed the mob and you actually write down what dropped, I bet you'll find it's not as bad as you think it is.
And if it is, what do I win?
Nothing. You get to ask a question at Fanfare.
All right. Fair enough. I still want my pants.
Yeah, we want you to have pants, too.
And my guild wants me to get pants, too, because they want me to quit whining about it every time we kill that mob.
Yes, I want you to have pants, too. Pants are good for everyone.
Plus, they have awesome crit mitt on them.
All right, next email. Thank you, Indebuff, by the way, for giving me the opportunity to tell Dell to put some pants on. So bad. You can take that out if you want.
I'm just shaking my head.
Our next email is from Radrell, formerly of Antonia Bell. And he writes, "Hi, the Delmon and the wonderful Alicious. I've been listening to your podcast for almost a year now, and I really enjoy it. I remember the last time I wrote to you both was a long time ago. I always tried to declare myself as the person who prompted the famous noobing around that you both did not long ago. I guess you could call me E-Famous. Do you remember Radrell? He's the one who asked us to talk more about the noob player side of things. And that's what started the Show Us Your Noobs.
Yes, and we did show him our noobs.
We did.
I hope he liked them.
I just had a few things I thought would be interesting discussion for you both. I've not really been active in EQ2 since last summer. I remember the last day I played. It was a sticky August. I was one of about five people left active in the guild I was in. My guild had gone inactive because of the horrid EQ2X. None actually transferred over. Many were just frustrated that SOE could screw us over once again. EQ2X actually went into open beta on my birthday, the worst birthday I had ever had, and it beats the one when I found out my kittens had been eaten by a wolf in the night. They were outdoor cats. Needless to say, I have continued to listen to the podcasts over the past year and still enjoy them. Every time I listen to them, though, they make me realize I want to come back to play the game. Though at that sudden realization, I know that I would basically have to start a new tune and noob my way through things since it's been so long. I guess what I'm asking is, what is the state of the game at the moment? Is the game dead compared to before? Is it worth it to actually come back, and to which server? Are there any active guilds left? Have there been any server merges in the past while? I guess I wonder, is it worth it to spend all that time and money to get the expansion I need and also the game time, as well as the amount of time needed to level a tune up to 90? I've always said to myself that I would never be anywhere near EQ2X since I blame basically all the people inside that server for my guild crashing and losing such good friends. But on a lighter note, I enjoy you gals, ha ha ha, chatting away in the podcasts. You brighten my workday and make my day full of laughter. So make more podcasts too. Thanks, signed Radrell, formerly of Antonia Bale. So, Del, what do you think?
Well, he asks some really interesting questions, and maybe we should go over them.
Yes.
The first one he asks is the game dead compared to before? What do you think?
I think it depends on your point of view.
I agree. I think it depends on your definition of dead.
And it depends on your point of view, because from my point of view, it is dead compared to before, because I have only like five active people in my guild. It's different, right?
Absolutely. I agree. The game, as far as I can tell, is as healthy as always because I'm in an active guild. I see lots of players playing all the time. Granted, one of them has no pants when he has to play, but that's a story for another day. I think, again, a lot of it depends on, you know, your involvement in what you're doing in-game. If you're playing in a certain dungeon and you're the only one in it, absolutely, the game looks dead to you. You go over to an instance in DOV or Overland DOV zones, and there's lots of folks around. So it's hard to say, is the game dead? I don't think so. I think there is still a healthy community out there who are playing regularly.
I mean, I think there's definitely a healthy community. I know it's not in my guild. So as far as what server, I think it depends. Again, you were on Antonia Bale before. I can only assume that you were there for RP reasons. If you like to RP, I highly recommend Antonia Bale because it's pretty much the only one, right?
Yes, it's the only one left. But I think, again, you know, much like is the game dead or not? Is any server dead more so than any other? Well, it all depends on your point of view, right? You jump on a server, and it could be the server with the smallest amount of players on it. But if you bump into all of them and you're always grouping and you're guilding and you're fighting and you're doing stuff together, it looks like a thriving community. So that one's hard to say. To me, if you're interested in role play, then go Antonia Bale because like-minded players will go that way. If you're not, then I think any of the other remaining servers are just as good as any other.
Or even Antonia Bale because it's the most populated. But
right. But the other thing could be, too, is a lot of the other games are getting new hardware.
That's true. You mean the other servers.
Yeah, the other servers. So I think you might see maybe a rebalancing of guilds if one guild realizes, oh, there's a power vacuum on a particular server. They may jump over there. Now, that's probably going to be a high-end raiding guild looking to take advantage of that vacuum.
Which wouldn't necessarily affect your game until they start trickling their loot down by auction. And then, you know, you might end up being affected.
Absolutely. So to me, pick anyone. To me, I think they're all the same. If you're interested in role play, then you might want to gravitate towards AB more.
I would throw out there, even though you're anti-EQ2X, and I would like to say in his email, he says he blames all the people in that server, but I wouldn't blame the people in the server for the loss of population on a live server because it's not the people.
Certainly not. And you make a great point there. And maybe that is something for Radral to consider, is if you're not really committed to playing EQ2 right now, maybe try it out on the free-to-play server and see if you're enjoying it and you're having fun again, and then make a decision whether or not you want to invest long-term money into it. Kind of a try-before-you-buy type. And I think that is right. A good thing for the Freeport server. I think that's one of its best selling points, is you have that opportunity to test it out, see if you're into it, see if you like it. And I do think there is certainly a healthy population over there, and we know a lot of listeners are playing on those servers. So I don't necessarily think it's a horrid server as much as we sometimes like to throw a few jabs at it occasionally.
But you have to bear in mind that you can't transfer off of there. You can't transfer your tunes off to a live server, right?
That is correct. But I would say, in today's gameplay, though, is it that hard to level?
But it's not so much the leveling, Del, as like if you're there and you build a community, you know what I mean?
Yeah, then you're going to become attached to that community. You're not going to want to leave. So then it becomes a good thing.
Right. But, okay, yeah, I suppose that's true. I would rather people play on live servers, but that's just me. Just because I play on a live server.
Play on unrest.
And I don't want it to go away.
He asks also, are there any active guilds? Well, that's hard to say.
Yeah.
Yes, there are active guilds. They're on many servers, different servers. You just got to find one on each server. There's always active guilds, I think, on every server.
But I think you should pick a server that has, you know, find, as long as you get a guild that's active, you'll be fine. I think the point of view definitely is different depending on where you sit. You know, if you're like Dell, if you're in an active guild, you're not going to feel any effects of population dropping around you.
That is very true. Yep.
So, and you could be on a really great popular server in a small guild that has hardly any, you know, that people are basically on their way out the door, and you'll feel like the population is dwindling when in fact it could be actually growing.
Yeah, and I think you made that point in the beginning. It all depends on your point of view, your station in the game, what you see around you.
Right. So there it is. So thanks to our listeners for writing. We always appreciate your feedback.
Absolutely. Even if you agree with Allie.
Yes, especially if you agree with
Allie. Which is still the wrong way to agree, I think.
And if you have no pants, feel free to write and make Zell feel better.
If you want to link me your pants in game to make yourself feel better than me, feel free. Hey, they can do that in the EQ2 Talk channel.
They can.
Which is eq2.unrest.eq2talk.
And all you have to do is type /join.
So Fanfare is less than a week away at this point.
Yes. Are you excited?
I am excited. I'm a little nervous.
Why are you nervous?
I'll admit, Dell does not travel all that well.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Shocking. I don't mind flying. That's not the problem. I don't mind flying because I've come to the realization it's out of my hands. There's nothing I can do about it, so I might as well sit back and enjoy it.
Mm.
But what I don't like is being crammed into that little tiny seat. I'll admit, I'm not a man of svelte stature. It's uncomfortable, and it's a long flight for me. So
how long is the flight?
5+.
Oof. Ouch.
Yeah. I mean, I did upgrade as best I could to the even more legroom seat, but it doesn't make the seat any wider, unfortunately.
Why don't you upgrade to business class?
I've always gone with JetBlue. They don't have the business class seating, but they do have the DirecTV, and I do like that because it's an additional distraction for while I am confined in that small space that makes the time go by faster. So that's my problem with flying to Fanfare in Vegas, is the uncomfortableness of the flight.
I can appreciate that, being trapped in a tube for 5+ hours in a little seat can be very uncomfortable. With a bunch of strangers.
Yeah, and I'm always like shoulder to shoulder with the heavy set person next to me. Of course, they're saying the same thing about me.
Right.
And so it just makes for an uncomfortable experience. It's amazing the airline industry can treat us as customers the way they do, yet we still sign up and use their services all the time. But it is what it is. So we did want to mention a few things about Fanfare as it is rapidly approaching. First is I will be there. I will be on the ground. I will have boots on the ground at Fanfare for you, the listener. And I will be tweeting while I'm doing that.
So a lot.
I will be tweeting a lot. I will be, well, not a lot. A lot. I won't tell you everything I'm doing because that might be a little too much for our PG-13 tweeting standard.
Okay, no, but you can, give us little, 140 character snippet of even a sandwich.
I will. If you want to know what type of sandwich I'm having, I will tweet that for you.
I think that would be, if there's a noteworthy sandwich, I think you should tweet about it.
I will do that. So I think, folks, if they want to stay up to speed with all the exciting things that are going on with Delmon at Fanfare, they should certainly follow me over there on the Twitter. And they can find me as DelmonEQ2, that's one word, DelmonEQ2, at the Twitter. And they will keep up to speed on all the things that are happening around me at Fanfare. And it will be glorious. In 140 characters or less.
Glorious.
Yes, it will be. We've also been working on our manifesto, have we not?
Well, it's a feedback or what? What would you call it?
It's a list of questions and feedback.
Feedback list, basically. It's the list.
We codenamed it manifesto.
Yes.
It made it sound more glorious.
Yes, more important.
Apparently glorious is the word of the day on EQ2 Talk.
Yes. So the manifesto, or the bitch list, if you want to call it, is basically we have a sheet that we put together, all these things that we've been noticing over the past little while that bother us, or things that we have questions about, or bugs, or things not working correctly, or apparently not working correctly, that Del can take with him to Fanfare and hopefully get some answers on, or at least provide that feedback so the team can take it back with them and address any issues, or basically blow them off if things are working as intended. Let's hope they don't blow them off.
I think we discussed me taking the manifesto, and I believe the word was shoving it in the face of?
Waving it
in the face of, yes. Yes, not shoving.
Waving it in the face of the nearest developer.
And demanding that they address our concerns.
Of course, Del will do no such thing. He's a man of only talking.
I'm a man of EQ2 talk.
And little action.
Yes, that's why the podcast is so aptly named. It's all talk.
Pretty much. So we were thinking, if you have any worthwhile questions that you would like answered, Del can take them with him to Fanfare, add them to the manifesto. But you need to do it quickly. You should either email him or both of us, Allie at EQ2Talk or Delmon at EQ2Talk. He's leaving. When are you leaving?
Soon.
Really soon. So basically you have only, by the time this comes out, you have today and tomorrow to do that. Or during Fanfare, you can tweet him or send him a direct message on Twitter or Facebook or email or whatever. With your question or problem that you want him to ask for feedback on. There's no guarantee we'll get an answer, but if it gets out there, SOE is really good about giving us changes after the fact with the list of things that they've done in patch notes, telling us this was Fanfare feedback and the changes that they've made.
Absolutely. So it's important that we get those as soon as people can. Get those out to us, as Ellie says, either email or Twitter will work for us. Because I will admit, the devs are listening. They do listen to us. Maybe they don't always have the opportunity to implement everything that we want.
Or agree with us, necessarily.
Or agree with, but they will listen. Yes.
Yeah. So we also have a little something special for you if you're going to Fanfare. Right, Del?
Yes, we do.
If they see Del at Fanfare, people can... What?
They can come up to me.
They can come up to you and tell you something. What do we decide we want them to tell you? To let them know they are listeners of the show.
Yes, you had come up with a line for them.
Yeah. Well, you have an added bonus, but let's just say if you go up to Delmon at Fanfare and you ask him for a dollar, he'll give you a dollar and a special EQ2 Talk gift. But we wanted to have a way of distinguishing people who actually listen to the show.
So we have a code word or a code phrase.
Right. And that's, I've met doorknobs that are smarter than a Delmon.
So if you come up to me, if you find me at Fanfare and you happen to be at Fanfare, I don't think it's fair for people to tweet that to me.
No. I think they should come up to you.
Ask me for a dollar, and if you say, oh, please, I've met doorknobs that are smarter than a Delmon,
you'll actually get a dollar.
You'll actually get the dollar.
As opposed to people who just ask for a dollar.
Yes. Because we all know if there's one thing Delmon will have in his hand is a fistful of singles at Fanfare.
Speaking of being smarter than a Delmon, in this episode, we have a special expanded edition of Are You Smarter Than a Delmon? Expanded.
Ooh. Ah. Oh.
So last year, if you remember the pre-Fanfare show, we gave some of our tips for Fanfare, attending Fanfare, and what we thought were the most important things to remember to plan ahead. But this year, we wanted to do something a little bit different. So, Del, here's the deal. I have in my possession a list of Fanfare tips from EQ2 developers.
Okay.
Your challenge is to guess who said each one.
Interesting. Okay.
And by the way, there are no losers on this special edition of Are You Smarter Than a Delmon? So you're going to Fanfare. You already win.
Yay, me.
So basically what we're going to do, I mean, I think if you get them right, you just get, you know, brownie points for being knowledgeable and insightful.
Okay.
But so I thought what we would do is I would read one. You try and guess who it is, and then we can talk about their tip.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Now, let me ask.
Okay.
Are these specifically EverQuest 2 developers, or are they Sony staff members in general?
They are specifically EverQuest 2 developers.
Okay, very good. Okay. Very good. So the red names that we see on the forums.
Correct.
Okay, this is going to be interesting.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, our first tip. Don't party too much on the first day that you're unable to enjoy the second and third.
They refer to partying, so I'm going to have to think it's going to be an upbeat dev, person who's outgoing, likes to drink, and is worried about not being able to get up for day two. So I'm going to start with, well, this is tough. I have no clue. I'm going to say Ninja.
Incorrect.
Okay.
That little tip comes from Prethin.
Dang it. Prethin. All right.
What do you think of that tip?
I think that is a really good tip because it is very easy to get caught up in the momentum of Fanfare and exhaust yourself right out of the gate. And even though it's only a weekend, it is a quote-unquote long weekend. There's going to be stuff going on all throughout the day and into the evening. So you don't want to blow your load right at the start. I agree.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually a really excellent tip because my very first Fanfare, we had no idea what to expect. We just showed up and made our way to the bar in the hotel. And, wow, there were people from Star Wars Galaxies, from EQ, from EQ2, from Planetside, and the place was totally overwhelmed with gamers, and it was just so awesome. And so we're just pounding beers and, like, you know, listening to, overhearing conversations, running into people. We ran into a guy from Planetside who kind of scared us, and we decided to.
Those Planetside people, they can.
Oh, man, that guy was creepy. A little bit on the scary side. Maybe it was RP, I don't know. But we got just completely hammered. I mean, everybody was dragging. I mean, nobody got up for the breakfast the next day. I think the thought of breakfast sent most of us back to our hotel rooms, you know, to sleep it off a little more. And we didn't roll out until afternoon. So you do miss a lot. There's a lot of stuff going on the Friday morning. You don't want to miss any signing up for computer time if you want, you know, if you want to play at all. So don't do what Allie did. So that was a good one. You ready for your second tip?
I am ready for my second tip.
All right. Did you know there's a free shuttle that goes from Bally's to many of the other casinos on the Strip? If you have the time, it's well worth checking out some of the great restaurants out there.
Okay. So this person is talking about leaving the hotel and going out to eat.
Yes.
So which EQ2 developer do I think likes to eat?
Well, they also said the magic word, free.
So they're cheap.
Free shuttle.
Free.
Well, I don't know if they're cheap, but.
Okay.
I know that speaks your language.
I am going to say Candor.
Zelgad.
Oh.
So what do you think of that tip?
I got to be honest, I'm not a particular fan of leaving the hotel. One, because it's always like 115 degrees outside in Las Vegas during the summer. And there's always so much going on. I don't want to go away because I might miss something. I might miss out on something that's really cool or something impromptu or something happening in the hallway that I might not see. So while it is a good tip and there's certainly a lot of great places to eat in Las Vegas, I probably wouldn't do that, but that's just me.
Even though there's a free shuttle?
Even though there's a free shuttle.
There are really great restaurants, though, I have to say. I don't know if it's still there, but there used to be a steakhouse at the bottom of the MGM Grand, the Hollywood Brown Derby. Really awesome food. Expensive, but awesome. But, you know, I understand what you're saying about, you know, wanting to not miss anything. If there's a night when, you know, all the action's over and all of that, and you happen to randomly run into people you know, or, you know, somebody's, you know, that's a good time to go out. There is a lot of stuff going on, but there's always time to eat, Del.
Oh, I'm certainly not advocating not eating. Trust me, that is not the point I'm making. Certainly not. I'm just saying to travel off-site, that's a lot of time and other things. But certainly, mealtime is a great time to hang out with other players and meet them and talk to them. And certainly, if you see folks off the hotel with their badges or something, don't be afraid to go up, shake their hand, say hello. You're all there for the same type of thing. So a great mealtime is a great time to meet people and chat things up. But I don't think I'll be leaving Bally's.
All right, even with a free shuttle. Wow, yeah. Shocking. Okay, our next tip. We just want you to come and have fun. As long as you're having fun, that's all that matters. Total Boy Scout.
Yeah. So the company line, that sounds like I'm going to go with Domino.
No. No, surprising.
Ugh.
But it's actually Cronin.
Cronin. Oh.
Cronin's a Boy Scout, apparently.
He is. That surprises me. A fellow dwarf such as him, I didn't think he'd be toting a party line that much.
But what do you think of his tip about having fun?
I think it's almost impossible not to have fun. So a good tip, but I don't think it's something you cannot not do, if that makes good English.
Oh, I think you can. You can succeed in not having fun.
Okay.
I think it's possible.
Well, maybe you've been going to the wrong fanfares, but, you know, there's people, there's gaming, there's people talking about the stuff you're interested in, developers talking about stuff that's upcoming, listening to your feedback, bending other players' ears, getting suggestions on new things. I come back with a pile of notepaper of things I've overheard other people talking about that I immediately want to try when I get back in game. It's one thing about leaving fanfare, it's very frustrating for me. Mm-hmm. Is because I have all these wonderful ideas and things I want to check out, see, and do in game, but I got to wait till I get home to do that.
Yeah, that's true. What I meant about not having fun, it's if you skip out on stuff or you miss anything, like if you drink too much and you miss, you know what I mean? You miss panels or whatever. Last time I went, which was 2 years ago, I had some vertigo issues and I ended up missing half the panels. And that was really not fun for me.
Okay, so I can see that now, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to have any issues because if you miss out on stuff and if you skip things, like I think I missed out on seeing that they did that movie a couple of years ago.
Evercracked,
yeah, the premiere of that. I skipped that to do a different panel, and I wish I had gone to that because, you know, just – seeing that with the whole crowd, a whole room full of people who play the SOE games, I think that that theatrical experience made a difference, because we watched it in my living room with, you know, five people. I think it makes a difference having that big, huge room. So
it's okay. You can be honest. You went to that other panel because we thought we were going to get free stuff for Free Realms trading card game, and we got nothing.
But you know what, though? That was fun, though, because there were only a few people in there, and, you know, those guys couldn't go see the movie either.
That is true. I would say we definitely had a very intimate setting during that panel, because there was, what, a half a dozen of us in there at most?
Yeah.
So talk about one-on-one time with developers. That was awesome.
Yeah. Our next one is, this is a gimme. Don't be shy to come up and talk to us. That's what we're there for.
Okay, now I think I know this one. I think I know this one because I've heard this person say that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm second-guessing myself. I think that's Domino.
You would be correct.
Finally. It only took four tries, but I finally got one right. That is a really good tip she gives, because I think a lot of players sometimes are intimidated by developers because they are huge, massive ogres of type people, you know, who are ready to tell you why your idea is wrong and how unimplementable it is, and, you know, why don't you just go play that other game if you want that feature.
So, of course, they're nothing like that at all.
And that's my point. They are nothing like that. They are usually, for the most part, sometimes they're a little tired or winded. So if you see them resting, their eyes don't bother them then. But they are very approachable. They want to hear what you have to say. They want to take time. They want to hear your stories. Because I think that's a little bit much like when folks give us feedback about the podcast. It motivates us to keep doing it. And it reinvigorates us into doing it.
Yeah.
And re-energizes us. I think fanfare, as much as it is for the players, it is also a way to help recharge the staff, because they see all these folks who are very excited, very passionate about the game, and it recharges the batteries of the design team and kickstarts them and gets them going again.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about it that way. But yeah, I think I've never met a developer at a fanfare who was not receptive. You know, even when you catch them, I mean, my first fanfare was way smaller scale. It was in 2006, but you'd run into them in the hallway. You know, you could run them out having a smoke break, and there's one of the developers, and, you know, they actually are receptive even when they're out taking a break. Not to say that you should do that, but I never met a developer at a fanfare that wasn't willing to stop and talk to you and hear what you had to say. And I think they like getting the feedback because, you know, they love their jobs and they actually love the games that they make. So it's nice to get feedback from people who play those games and enjoy what you do. Our next tip is this. There's a produce store just down the road, so you can stock up for your favorite or not so favorite panel.
Okay. Produce. So this sounds like somebody who eats healthy, and I don't know any developers who eat healthy.
Or perhaps you're stocking up on fruit to throw at the panel.
Oh, okay. So therefore, if it's about throwing rotten fruit at a developer, I'm going to guess Hrothgar.
No.
I have no idea why I guessed that, and I fear now I'm going to get a tomato in the back of the head.
It's Ninja.
Ninja wants me to throw rotten fruit at him. Okay.
No, if it's at a produce store, it's not rotten.
Oh.
It's fresh.
Okay. He wants fresh fruit thrown at him. Okay. I have to be honest. I was not aware of a produce store along the Vegas Strip.
I don't think there is one.
Oh, okay. Is that not a serious tip? Should I not be?
Fairly certain it's not.
Okay.
I think that's probably a joke. I don't encourage throwing fruit or produce of any kind, whether it's rotten or fresh.
But I'm concerned here. So Ninja wants the joke to be on me? Is he trying to laugh out loud at me? Is he finding me funny?
So. I don't think it's about Del. I don't think these questions have anything to do with Delmon. I think they have to do with fanfare.
And fruit. All right. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find Ninja at Fanfare, and I'm going to give him a fruit slushy, just like they do on Glee.
Okay. Do you think he watches Glee?
I don't know, but I just admitted that I do. And now I'm nervous I said that.
I think he doesn't probably watch Glee. Just
we'll,
a guess.
We'll find out.
All right. Moving on. Be polite. You have a better chance of getting your question answered.
Beat the light. That sounds like somebody who's got their foot on the gas pedal and is going to race through a red light.
Be polite.
Oh, be polite. Oh, jeepers. Be polite. I am going to go with Windslasher.
Good guess, but no. I hope I don't butcher this name because I'm not familiar with this red name. Maybe you are. Homaru?
Homaru, yes. Yes, I recognize that name from the forums. But that's a good tip, though, about being polite because, as I've said in the past, you gather more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. So when you get up there and you ask a question about when are you going to stop nerfing Shadow Knights,
yeah,
they're not going to answer that type of question. That's not a good question. If you can, you know, cite specifics about a particular combat art or a buff or something that's specific, don't just get up there and say, you're nerfing my class, or why can't I have this ability, or, you know, why does every assassin do more DPS than me? Those are too generic of a question.
Yeah, and you don't want to be rude. They're human beings, even though, you know, and they're on the clock, they're working, but they're people. And if you're nasty, it doesn't matter what type of a job you do, if you're nasty or unpleasant.
So when you're winding up with that banana to throw it, ninja, just be polite when you do it.
No bananas.
Kumquat?
No. Okay, next. You think it's Vegas and it's hot, but take a jacket. Air conditioning can be freezing.
I am going to go with Cathiel.
Oh, my goodness. How did you get that?
Because he looks like the type who would be cold.
Not much meat?
He would be comfortable in a JetBlue seat.
Oh, I see. Not much padding.
yeah, those of us like to call it bulk.
Okay, sorry.
Maybe that's why I'm not cold. I have much blubber to protect my vital organs from the cold of the Vegas Strip.
So either put on a bunch of weight or bring a jacket because you're going to freeze your butt off in the rooms. That's actually really good advice because the AC, they pump it up so high because in those rooms you get all those people together and it gets super hot. So they pump the AC way up. And if you're sitting there and it's a smaller group, you can literally have numb fingertips and you won't be able to take any notes. Very bad. And it just encourages you to drink too much.
Again, not a problem for me.
Well, very good. I'm very surprised and impressed. Bonus points for getting two so far. I mean, these are really shot in the dark, you know? Very impressive.
This is quite difficult.
I know it is. I didn't expect you to get any, except for maybe one. But like I said, you're already a winner. All right. Here's our next tip. Don't miss the art panel.
This is a toss-up. Because I know that there are going to be a couple of artists here, and I'm not sure which one to pick. So this is going to be like flipping a coin. And I'm going to go with a complete shot in the dark, T. Toby.
No. Nobrin.
He was going to be my other guess.
Okay. Well, anyway, don't miss the R panel. Actually, that's a good tip because the main panels that get the most attendance are the Q&A. The big Q&A panels where people get to air their grievances or ask their questions. But there are all kinds of things going on at the same time. And the art in EQ2 is pretty incredible, or any of the SOE games, actually. There's one panel that's, I think it's called the SOE Art Panel, Art Portal, where they have basically like the portfolios of all the artists, and they're really impressive art all on their own, even without being part of a video game.
The challenge when you're out there is when you're looking at the schedule, you see so many different panels that you say, wow, that's really cool. I'd like to go to that, but it conflicts with something else that I also really want to go to. So it can be a challenge sometimes to pick a favorite and attend that one. But there have also been a few times when I'm looking at the schedule and I said, none of these really are leaping off the page at me at this moment. So I end up kind of defaulting back and going to the EQ2 ones. And even if it's not your thing, there is always something to learn or find out about EverQuest 2 during another panel. So maybe you're not really big into, say, trade skilling, right? But when you go to that panel anyways and you're listening and they start talking about things and you can say, hey, I now understand that more. And you can extrapolate information about the game and use it in other contexts as well. So I find going to all the panels, there's always something to walk away from, even if that particular topic isn't of the greatest importance to me.
Right. And also you can hear the questions that people are asking who go to the panels that is of importance to them. You know, like you say, the trade skill panel, maybe there's something, maybe you just dabble in trade skilling, you know, it's not your full-time thing in EQ2. The questions that they ask, you know, you might learn something from a fellow player, even just by going to the panel. Okay, next. Put some thought in advance into what your most important issues to ask about so that you can be sure to have them ready to bring up at the appropriate panels. Although we're always happy to talk to you in the halls, bringing up major issues in the panels is the best way to ensure that they have our full attention.
Okay, I think I have this one pegged.
Okay.
Smoke jumper.
No.
Because it sounded such like the politically correct answer. I said, let me go with management. And that was wrong.
It's Hrothgar.
Hrothgar.
I think this is a really good tip. I mean, even though it's like not filled with comedy, there's a lot of good stuff in here. First of all, he says, bring up your issues in the appropriate panels. You need to make sure you're at the right panel for the question that you have. Don't try to ask a trade skill question or something that's related to trade skilling in a mechanics panel or in something about, you know, animation or whatever. Just because something is semi-related, you should be at the right place. And another thing he says, you know, we're always happy to talk to you in the halls, but don't try to bring up some big, huge issue in the hallway. Bring it up in the panel because, you know, in the panel, first of all, the entire team that's associated with that issue is there. So if this particular person can't answer your question, there's going to be somebody there who can. There's someone taking notes. There's people recording in the room. There are, you know, you've got Felden in there probably taking notes and blogging. You've got a whole room full of people who also might have the same issue and other things to add. So definitely do it in the panel, a big, big issue.
Yeah, I think one misconception that a lot of us players, and I put Allie and I in this category, as well as on the forums, we just see them all as red names. So we sometimes consider all developers to be interchangeable. And that's not necessarily true. They all have expertise and specialities for certain aspects of the game. That's not to say that they are unknowledgeable about other things, but they are focused on certain areas of the game. So sometimes when you ask a mechanics question to somebody who's been focused on artwork, well, they may not be up to speed as much on it as the experts, the SMEs, the subject matter expert for that item. So when you ask the question to the appropriate developers during the appropriate panel, you're most likely going to get a better response than a, gee, I'm not an expert in that, or you have to talk to so-and-so about that. So I think Hrothgar makes a really good point. We sometimes just see them all as red names and all interchangeable equivalents, and they're not.
Yeah. Okay, and our final tip. Free gin and tonics always loosen animators' lips.
So we're back to art again. And I don't know who drinks gin and tonics, but I'm about to find out, I think. I went with T. Toby earlier. That was wrong. I'm going to go with him again.
You got it.
All right, so now we know who to buy gin and tonics for.
Or run into a developer on Friday night when there's free open bar.
That is the best time to buy drinks for people, is during the open bar.
Yeah, I shouldn't say free. It's not free to everybody. It's free to us.
And people over 21.
Yeah, so he's picking up the tab on that one. So Friday night is always a good time. Now you can buy people gin and tonics and you'll have loose lips.
Yes, and the best time too, I find, is sometimes also at the pool party.
Mm-hmm.
Not to bring up like you suggested earlier, like these in-depth topics, but you can kind of have that one-on-one personal downtime, telling them about a story about a raid or an instance group that you are in. And I do think they love to hear that sort of stuff because they like to see the excitement on people's faces when they're talking about great moments in the game. And especially over a couple of drinks while you're sitting there in your Speedos, sitting by pool, having a good time in the heat, the 110 degree heat of a Las Vegas night.
But that's why there's a swimming pool.
Yes.
And ice cubes. But, you know, yeah, you make a good point. Giving positive feedback. I mean, we still play this game, so we must like something about it. This fanfare isn't just about giving negative feedback or feedback about problems or issues. It's also about telling them what you like so they can do more of it.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point, Allie. Really, really good point. Sometimes we've heard folks say, you know, the best way to make your point is to bitch about it. Well, you know, there are things that are done well in the game and things that we do enjoy. And when we talk about them, they get that feedback so they know to do more of that. We want them to do what we like and do what we enjoy and invent new aspects of the game that we are enjoying. So when we're telling them that these are the things we do like, we're more apt to see more of that.
And it's always nice to hear good feedback about something you've worked really hard on, you know, to know how much people like it. So what did you think, Del? About your 10 tips for fanfare from EQ2 developers.
I think they're all really good tips. It's really hard to pick a red name out of the air and tag it onto a two-line comment that someone right. made. I certainly somehow feel that I've offended a few of them, and I don't know how. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll take a grapefruit to the back of my grapefruit. I don't know, but we'll see.
Well, you did get 3 out of 10. I'm really impressed that you got 3.
That's not bad, yeah.
Really impressed. But I did want to give a huge thank you to the entire EQ2 team for giving us your tips. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much. So that pretty much wraps up the developers' tips. I do actually have a couple other tips for this year that we didn't touch on, and I wanted to share those. First, I wanted to say, people, if you're going to fanfare, one of the things that I think you should do is talk to people in the elevator. And the reason I say that, it's actually a really good place to meet people. Most of the time, I mean, there's a ton of people at the hotel, but in the area that the fanfare is in, you're mostly going to run into other players. So especially if you see their badge, you're in a closed environment. There's probably only a couple of people in the elevator. It's a perfect time to talk. What else do you have to do but wait and watch the numbers? You might as well introduce yourself. Hey, I'm Allie from Unrest. I play EQ2. What do you do?
I'm Delmon. I play on... Oh.
And you might run into them somewhere else and, you know, maybe make a friend. On my way home from my first fanfare in 2006, we actually met a guy at the airport. And it turns out he was on our server. And years later, his guild ended up merging with ours. And he's actually still in my guild today. And I could say I met him at the airport in Atlanta. That's my first tip that I haven't mentioned before. The other one is a very special one for this year is, and I hope you do this, Del, hug a Swig player. For those of you who live under a rock and aren't aware, Star Wars Galaxies is shutting down December 15th. And this is the last fanfare for Swig players. If you see somebody with Star Wars Galaxies on their badge, go up and introduce yourself. Ask them about the game. Ask them what they like about it. Ask them to share a memory, an awesome memory. Star Wars Galaxies is 8 years old. And it's probably the last of the really great games, in my personal opinion. There's so many little things about that game that make it unique. And if you don't know about it, maybe talk to a Star Wars player, hear their stories, and give them a hug. Because their game is going away. And I'm really sad about it. I'm really, really sad about Star Wars Galaxies.
Yeah, it's tough when any game like that comes to an end. It's unfortunately, at some point, even EverQuest 2 will come to an end too. And it's that realization of it is the end. And hopefully the folks who are going to be at Fanfare from SWG have a kick-ass time and send it off or begin the send off in a positive, exciting, last hurrah type thing. And I will definitely, if I see a Swig player, you know, give them an extra nod or an extra hey, you know, have fun in those last few months.
You're not going to give them a hug? A big Wookiee hug?
I'd just as soon kiss a Wookiee.
You're not going to kiss a Wookiee?
Oh, I'm going to kiss a Wookiee. I just assume kiss a Wookiee.
Okay. Sorry. I have a picture of fur getting stuck between your teeth. It's really awful. Okay.
Didn't we do furries in a previous episode?
Yes, we did do furries. So hug a Swig player. Okay. That's all I got.
So did we have anything else for this, the 27th episode of EQ2 Talk?
No, I think that pretty much covers everything.
All right, so let's say thank you to everyone who took the time to download this podcast. We certainly do hope that you enjoyed it. We also want to give a big shout-out and thank you to this week's corporate sponsor, Rockstar Energy Drink. Rockstar, get you going. Ah.
So if you'd like to reach us, you can do so in a bunch of different ways. You can send us an email. I'm at Allie@EQ2Talk.com.
And I'm Delmon@EQ2Talk.com.
You can reach us in-game, eq2.unrest.alicious, A-L-I-S-C-I-O-U-S.
And I'm eq2.unrest.delmon, D-E-L-L-M-O-N.
You can also join our in-game chat channel, which is eq2.unrest.eq2talk.
And if you want to stay up with us over on Facebook, you can find us there as well. So that's facebook.com/eq2talk, and we'd love for you to like us.
We're also on Twitter as EQ2Talk.
And don't forget to follow me, DelmonEQ2, all one word, over on Twitter as well, where I'll be tweeting all my adventures from Fanfare. So that wraps up just about everything. Thanks to everybody for listening, and we hope to see you all back here in episode number 28 with our post-Fanfare show. Say champagne wishes and caviar dreams, Allie.
Champagne wishes and caviar dreams. And good night.
And brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Not great?
It was good.
All right.
Would you like it to be great?
I like it when you tell me I'm great. So, Allie, what do you think about Indabuff's comments about my comments about smart loot?
Sorry. Hold on. Hello? You need to not use that.
All right.
People have children listening to this. Did you say email or feedback?
I said feedback.
See, now everything sounds X-rated.
I'm Delmon Leitch, and this is Lifestyles of the Podcasting and Famous.